Praise the Lord. So today we're looking at another aspect of walking the way of Christ, our Messiah, in Holy Ghost-filled living. Because he drives surrendered vehicles, okay? We're the vehicles. He drives us. He operates us. And if we allow him to operate us, then he does what he does best. It's when we resist that we have problems. That's when we resist God in any aspect that we have problems. The one that we call Jesus said, narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. I quoted this last week as I started the sermon, and I want you to understand that it's his way. It's not my way. It's not your way. And see, when we surrender to him, he takes over. It's like when you get into your automobile, your car, your truck, whatever it is, you get in, you operate it. It doesn't operate itself. And this is how the Holy Spirit is. Holy Spirit will take over. He will run you. He will operate you. He will pilot you. As if you were a vehicle for him to use, if you fully surrender, you give yourself up, he does it. And this is part of God's grace. God gives us grace to resist temptation. God gives us grace to live our lives unto him. In Joel chapter 2 and verse 28, we learn that Joel foretold the outpouring of the Holy Spirit long before our Lord, the one we call Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah, long before he said that it was going to happen. Joel said it was going to happen, and our Savior promised the Holy Spirit to his followers. His promise was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, and as we looked at that in another message, we saw that not only was Pentecost the day whenever the people were filled, but there were also other fillings. There were others who were filled. There were people who were believers. There were people that were Jews. There were people that were converted to Judaism. And there were people who were Gentiles, non-Jewish. They became believers, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. He filled people who followed the way of life that Christ laid out. And as that way of life spread, so did the Holy Spirit. With the outpouring and infilling of the Holy Spirit came gifts. And there are several passages of Scripture that talk about gifts. The gifts that we are given. We receive. It's not something we do. It's something that we become because we're gifted by God, filled with his Spirit. And these gifts are mentioned, as I said, in several passages of Scripture that we're going to look at today. But before we do, I want us to pray. I really want us all to focus our attention on God today. I want God to take away any distractions. Father, we've been overwhelmed with worldly matters. And this is largely because of our exposure to worldly sources of information and media and such. Many, Lord, have been taught ungodly religious teachings. They're doctrines of demons that are filling your church, Father, and we want to be free from all of those things. Please cleanse us with your Holy Spirit-fired word, because it is your Spirit that has inspired, these human writers to put what you have inspired into writing, that we can have it. Please awake our minds to the truth of your word, Father. Please erase all human traditions and doctrines of men, those that are not true to your word. Please cleanse our hearts. Draw us near to you with a true heart and full assurance of faith as it's written in your word. Move us by your Holy Spirit to love you completely and love others as ourselves. Please pour your Spirit upon all who are within the sound of my voice, Lord. Open the eyes of our understanding and give us Holy Spirit-fired desire to do your work as we see the day of our Lord's return coming. Thank you for gathering us here to praise and worship you today, and help us to attend to your word. And God, please wipe away all distractions. Please grant to your servant that with all boldness I may speak your word through the name of your holy servant, Yeshua, our Messiah, the one we call Jesus the Christ. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. As I said, God's Word offers insight into what we call spiritual gifts. Holy Spirit manifests in believers. Some recognize the gifts of God as manifestations of the Holy Spirit. In fact, His Word uses that word. Every believer receives the Holy Ghost when they are converted from darkness to light, from death to life. All of us were dead in sin and trespasses. And by God's grace, we've been converted out of that and into the life of a believer on the way of Christ. We're going to read the passages of text that tell of the gifts that Almighty God offers to believers through and by His Spirit. Holy Spirit is the gift of God to believers. Our Lord said, I'm going to send you another helper. He's comparing the helper to Himself. He's going to help us to walk that way, His way. He says, walk His way. I believe each of you will recognize something, or maybe more than one thing, that He has provided to you, that He's gifted you with as we go through these passages of Scripture. You've been gifted by God's grace to be used by God, and it's for the edification of the body. It's for the building up the body. It is for everyone that you have received the gift that you have received. It's not just for you. That's what His Word says, and we'll get to that. I want us to start by opening our Bibles to the 12th chapter of Romans. We'll find that on page 1748 in the Bibles there in your seats. We're going to go to verse 6. We're going to begin at verse 6. And we're going to read through verse 11. Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 6. That's, again, page 1748. And this is where we're going to hear some of the gifts that the Holy Spirit provides. Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 6. And this is what's written there. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. I trust that God will add His blessing to the reading and hearing of His Word. That's not a passage that's usually used, at least not commonly, to describe some of the gifts Holy Spirit provides. It starts with prophecy. And prophecy is prediction, foretelling. It's ministering, okay? That's a part of it. If you're foretelling, it's part of your ministry. It's part of how you minister to others. And ministering itself is a serving role. You're helping others. You're assisting. As a minister, I assist people. Part of what I'm assisting right now is in helping you to comprehend the Word of God. Not that you're not intelligent enough to do that. Not that the Holy Spirit wouldn't allow you to learn, because the Holy Spirit will be your teacher. The Holy Spirit uses me in this room to bring God's Word to bear upon your lives. Prophecy. Ministering. Teaching, another aspect of what I do. And it's an aspect that each of you can do. Each of you, if God allows you, if He gives you that gift, can prophesy. You can speak the oracles of God. You can speak the words of God. Teach, ministering, educating, instructing. Exhortation is encouragement. It's persuasive discourse. And I've got this in small font, so I've got to pick up the paper to read it, folks. Consolation, comfort, and instruction. These are out of the definitions for the root words, not for the English words. Giving is to share and to impart. Imparting what God has given to you, you can impart it to others. And part of that is in your service. Leadership is to care for and give attention to and protect and guard. We have many leaders in this room. God has given you that. He's made you the leader that you are. And it may be your family. It may be a handful of people. It may be a group of people. Mercy. It's compassion. It's to help the afflicted and bring help to those who are seeking aid. You have that compassion. I've been told I'm too compassionate sometimes. But I don't know that you can be. I think Holy Spirit gives you that. So you share it with others. You do what you need to do to help others. And see, that's all part of love. Because when you love others as yourself, you do for them what you would need someone else to do for you. Holy Spirit may manifest in one or all of these gifts in your life. He says He will. God's Word tells us. This is for believers. Not for unbelievers. And I want us to open now to a familiar passage that talks about the gifts, and that's 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You'll find that on page 1767 in the books there in the seats if you need one. 1767. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I thought we'd just go to the Scriptures. A lot of times I won't have us turn into them. I always am conscious of the clock. I respect your time. But I want you to read it for yourself along with me as we read what God's Word says. Because it is written, not just to be in a book sitting on a shelf somewhere. It is written so that we can comprehend what it is that God has for each and every one of us who believe, who are walking the way of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'll just begin at verse 1, and we'll read down a few verses. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Yeshua is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to some. Each one. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of themselves. No. Of all. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits. Matt, you prayed for this. To another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. And why? For the profit of all. Spirit, these manifestations of the Spirit are given to each one for the profit of all. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Not my will. We pray, thy will be done, Lord. Thy will be done. Not my will be done, thy will be done. What is your will, Lord, for this congregation? What is your will, Lord, for each and every believer in this room? What is your will, Lord, for the people who are listening or who will listen? What is your will? We want your will to be done. This is my prayer for each and every one of you, that God would pour out his Spirit upon you and you would operate because he's in control, not because you're in control. That he would use you to his glory in these several ways that he's outlined here. And I looked at all the definitions of the root words, and I will give you some of that today so that you comprehend what each and every one of these aspects of how the Holy Spirit will use you are going to look like whenever it's happening. He starts by giving three distinctions or differences. He gives these three distinctions. They're different gifts, but they are all manifestations of the same Spirit. Holy Spirit. And then he said there's different ways of attending and serving. That's the category. And then he said there's different ways, different or distinct ways of operating. Three different distinctions that he lays out. Holy Spirit is inspiring Paul to write these words because he had to bring correction to that church because there were some errors. But he gives these three different distinctions to say, well, look, some of the things that are happening here, they're a little bit different, but they're not out. They're not over. It's not wrong. You're not mistaken, because the Spirit will operate differently. What? He said it's the same God who works all in all. In 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 7, he says, the manifestation of the Spirit's given to each one for the profit of all. We read that earlier. For the profit of all. It's the benefit of all believers, especially in the local congregation, the local church. We operate as the Spirit leads, as the Spirit drives, as the Spirit pilots, if we could use that word, because that was in one of the definitions. The Spirit's the pilot. We are just the vehicle. He flies us where he wants us to go. He drives us the way he wants us to drive. He takes us where he wants us to go if we surrender, if we yield. If we will give ourselves over to him, he takes over. And he does only what he can do. We can't do it without him. We can't do it without God's grace. And sometimes the enemy comes in and he tries to turn everything around. He tries to change it. He wants you to fail. He wants you to fall down. He doesn't want you to go where God wants you to go, but God is still in control. And we need to understand that it's the Holy Spirit that's ruling in our lives if we allow him. If we will surrender, all we have to do is say, God, I give up. I give up. I'm not going to fight anymore. I'm sorry. I've done this. I'm talking from experience, folks. I have done it. Put myself down on the ground, and I said, God, I'm done. I keep wrecking my life. Take the wheel. You drive. And then one time I took it back, and then after that, after I wrecked again, I said, hey, you take the wheel. Lock me in the trunk. And I tell people this all the time. I'm not kidding. I'm serious, okay? Because if we let him be in control, he will take us where he wants us to go. He will do what he wants us to do. He will be the one who leads us where God wants us to be. And we don't have the power without him. The power comes from him. The power, these children that we have in our congregation, God can take them and use them, folks. I'm telling you, his word does not return to him void. And that's why I'm so intent on having the children in the service. I want them to get God's word. I want them to have what we have. I'm not trying to separate them out. Now, we do want to do some programs. Trust me, we want to do whatever we can for the children. We want to bring them together. In fact, Debbie's offered to even help with that. Debbie's got her clearances and everything. We praise God. And we need to figure what that looks like, okay? Because there's some people that will want their children to be into something, somehow to make something that so they can get some maybe closer instruction. I don't want the children to be out of here, though. I've got to tell you, folks, because these children have come a long way. They've come a long way, and they're hearing God's word. And where does faith come from? Hearing the word of God. Hearing the word of God. And we need to be people of faith. And that's a little side rabbit trail. I'm going to get back on track here, okay? The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. It's for all of us. So we don't want to quench the Holy Spirit. We don't want to throw water on the Holy Spirit, the fire of the Holy Spirit. We want the fire of the Holy Spirit to burn in us. We want to be alive. We want to be on fire for God. And then we will see, as this young lady has, whenever God comes over us and he uses us, we will speak the words that he wants us to speak. And it might even be to our own astonishment. How many of us have experienced that? I can raise my hand to that one, I'll tell you. And I see other hands here. When God speaks through us, we're saying, whoa, where did that come from, right? Oh, yeah. And you know, when I'm preaching God's word, whether it's here or on the street, it doesn't matter where it's at, folks, he takes over. He takes over and he uses me because I say I'm surrendered. Take me, use me, drive me, pilot me, you fly me because I want to go where you want me to go. And that's what I want for all of you. I want you to be fully surrendered. I don't want you to have anything that you're holding back. Okay, well, God, you know, I can give you everything but this. I've got to keep this. This is mine. I've got to hold on to it. No! Let it go, whatever it is. Let it go because God wants to take you to places you can never imagine. Ever. You can't imagine what he has for you. Your imagination isn't strong enough. But all you have to do is let go of all that that's impeding the flow of the Holy Spirit. He tells us he'll give us a word of wisdom. The Greek word is Sophia. It's worldly or spiritual. It's knowledge, the act of interpreting dreams and always giving the sagest advice. And somebody comes to you and they say, I don't know what to do. And God speaks through you. Holy Spirit takes over and you tell them. And then you're like, whoa, where'd that come from? Yeah, that's how it works. I'm there. I know. And I'm sharing with you because when people come to you, you're going to say, well, I don't know what to say. Oh, you don't know what to say. You say, God, you speak through me. Surrender. Allow him to speak through you, and he will. He will. His word says so. He'll give you that word of wisdom. Interpreting things. The skill in the management of affairs. The skill and discretion in imparting Christian truth, the knowledge and practice of what's required for godly and upright living. That comes out of the meaning of that word, Sophia. Word of wisdom. You're going to be skilled in things that you weren't ever skilled in. Because it's not you. It's him. He's the one that's in control. The word of knowledge. That's gnosis. Generally, it means intelligence. It means understanding, the general knowledge of walking Christ's way, generally. And where does it come from? God's word, of course. You've got to study God's word. Deeper, more perfect, and enlarged knowledge of moral wisdom. You will know what to do. You will know the difference between where God wants you to be and where he doesn't want you to be. And when you choose to do what he wants you to do, you can't go wrong. And I tell my children this all the time. You can't go wrong by doing what's right by God. You can never go wrong by doing what's right by God. And if you surrender, you give up, I'm not going to fight. I'm going to do it. Now, sometimes it's hard because he has us do things that we don't want to do. It's what's right by him. It's what's best for us. Sometimes we get stuck on ourselves. And I call that being stuck on stupid. I get stuck on stupid. You know, I say, okay, all right, I give up. Show me what you want. And I've gotten to the place now where I think surrendered so much that I'm just to the like where I don't know me anymore. Because it's him. He operates me. And I say, oh, praise God, because I was doing a horrible job of it, Terry. I was doing a horrible job of it. I kept wrecking, okay? And now he's in control, and I go where he wants me to go. And that's what I want for all of you. And you'll have those words of knowledge. You'll especially know the things that are lawful and unlawful for followers of the way. And it's all by the same Spirit. It's the same Spirit that helps you to know what's right and wrong for you and for all, especially the body, because remember, it's for the benefit of the entire body that you are filled with the Spirit. And then faith. 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 It's one of the gifts. Persuasion. Moral conviction of the way of the Messiah. Faith. Persuasion in the truthfulness of God. Faith. Reliance upon Christ for salvation. Faith. Living faith. Active faith. Constancy in your profession. You're not a Christian today and not tomorrow. You're not a follower of the way today and next week, not so much. There's a constancy in your walk. Do you stumble sometimes? No doubt, many of us do. Holy Spirit, you maintain your profession of faith. You don't give up. You don't walk away. You rely on Christ for salvation. And there's the idea of trust and holy fervor that are born of faith. You become on fire. Holy Spirit gives you that fire. And then you ignite others around you. It's like the sparks fly off of you and things start catching on fire. And you're like, whoa, praise God. Yes, God is in control. Then we go on to the next one in the list there, and it's the gift of healings. Simply means a cure, a remedy, health, healing. Gift of healings. We see that the Lord tells us that we will go about laying hands on people and they'll be healed. But so much of the church has ignored this. We forget that he tells us this is one of the things that he gives us. It's a gift to be able to help others. It's a gift to be able to heal others. And we don't do the healing. He does the healing. We simply do the act of laying our hands on them and praying. And anointing with oil whenever it's necessary. And God tells us when it's necessary. And he may tell us to fast and then pray. He may tell us to deny ourselves to such a degree that we're starving hungry. At least that's what we've been told. We're not. Gifts of healing. Miracles. That's the root word is dunamis. Dunamis. Like dynamite. Kaboom. Miracles. Miracles. Force. Literally or figuratively. And specifically it means miraculous power for performing miracles. Miracles are still alive, folks. They've been subdued, but they're still alive. There are still miracles happening. This young lady in the back, Cindy, just told us of a miracle God performed on her sister, who was a week, 2 weeks ago, they were going to pull the plug and say goodbye, and they didn't give up, and God performed a miracle because his people were praying. God is still in control. I love doctors, don't get me wrong, but they don't have all the answers. Sometimes we got to turn to a higher power. That miracle is the ability and the abundance and the might and the power and the strength and the mighty, wonderful works of God. The Holy Spirit gives you that. It's not you. You can't muster that up. Well, I'm just going to get the faith together and I'm going to have some power. No. You need to surrender. Give yourself to him. Be fully overwhelmed with the Holy Spirit. When you're overwhelmed, think about when you jump into water, okay? You're fully overwhelmed. It's like that. The water takes over. You die to yourself. You allow the Spirit to rule. You drown, if you will, in the Spirit. You drown yourself so that he completely has you. Prophecy. It's another one. The prediction of events relating to Christ's kingdom and its speedy triumph. Together with the consolations and reprimands and cautions pertaining to it. Prediction of events. We don't like that one. There's a lot of people who don't like that one. There's no more prophets, I'm told. It's a gift. Holy Spirit gives us this gift, and we can foretell things. We can see things. God gives us the ability to recognize things that are coming, and he tells us to warn others. And sometimes when somebody's on the wrong path, you can see where they're headed and you tell them, get off that path because you're going to get hurt. Other times when they're on the right path, you can say, praise God, you're right where you need to be. Holy Spirit gives you that. There's an endowment and speech of the Christian teachers that were called prophets that God gave them the ability to foretell. And the one way that you test a prophet is, does it come true? If it doesn't, the Old Testament tells us to stone them. Well, we don't do that anymore. This is more of a teaching message, folks. But I think we're at a place where God wants us to understand his word, to stand under his word. We need to understand, stand under his word. Not our understanding of it, not what we've been told or taught, but his understanding of it, standing under him. Might and power and Holy Spirit's drive of us. We have the divine mind. And that prophetic faculty comes from the mind of God. Not my mind, not your mind. We can have the prediction of the work. And those people that are set apart to teach the gospel, we can see how the word will go forward. We can see the souls that will be saved. This will accomplish salvation for the kingdom of Christ. Because we're able to allow the Spirit to use us. Then there's the distinguishing or discernment of spirits. This is a judicial estimation. Perceptive discerning, judging. We don't like that word, right? Well, judge not, lest ye be judged. Wait a minute. Holy Spirit will give you that. You will be able to discern between the spirits. This is of God, this is not. You will know. He gives you that. He gives you that ability. He's able to help you to tell the difference between angels and demons and the Holy Spirit. You can tell the difference. You distinguish between the spirits. And then the next thing on the list is tongues. The language or dialect that's used by a particular people that's distinct from others can also be a language of angels. He gives us to his people. But it's acquired supernaturally. It's not like you take a book and you study something and say, okay, this is this and this is that. And I've studied Greek and I've studied Hebrew and I don't like either of them. I can't remember. So I can't speak them. And I don't see any point in putting time into studying languages if I'm not going to be able to use them. When we're talking about tongues, we're not talking about a language that you can study. This is a language that's given to you supernaturally by Holy Spirit himself. God's Spirit gives this language. And there are some people, as we look forward in God's Word, he'll say, do all have this? Well, no, he says, not all. But it's possible. He says it's a gift of the Holy Spirit. And then there's the interpretation of tongues. It's the translation of what was spoken. And we know by Paul's letter to the Corinthians that there must be interpretation whenever they're speaking in tongues. And we trust that God will bring that interpretation. But it's still the same God who works all in all. It's interesting. When we see these gifts, they're manifestations that are supernatural. They're spiritual. They're not earthly. They're not worldly. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Remember that. It's for the profit of all. We want all to benefit from God's Spirit. We want all to benefit from all the gifts that God pours out through His Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 11, it tells us, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. As He wills. Not as we will, as He wills. I don't choose to be a prophet. I don't choose to be a minister. Although I can, as I'm born again, I can become a minister and I can choose to be a minister. God makes that call on a man's life or, in some cases, a woman's life. Look in the scriptures and you see where women were chosen of God. Men wouldn't stand up. God said, okay, I'm going to take you and use you because you're willing. Surrender and he'll use you. The next passage of text that lists gifts are gifts to the entire church through the individual Spirit-filled believers. First Corinthians chapter 12. Verses 27 to 31 is where we find that. I think we ought to open there. It's page 1768. It's just a little bit past where we were before. Page 1768, 1 Corinthians 12, beginning at verse 27. And he's speaking to the Corinthians, but it extends to all of us. Now, you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. First, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. After that, miracles. Miracles. Wait a minute. Apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles? Miracles. Gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Do all work of, are all workers of miracles? No. Do all have gifts of healings? No. Do all speak with tongues? Well, obviously, no. Do all interpret? No. But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. And then he goes into chapter 13 talking about love. And that's the key. Whatever we do, the most excellent way to do anything as we allow the Spirit to use us is to do it in love. If we do anything less than that, then we're failing the highest test. Because all of the law and the prophets are summed up in that one word, love. We love God supremely, and we love one another as ourselves. And if we do that, we're not going to try to impede the flow of the Holy Spirit, whether it be in us or it be in others. And we may not agree that, well, you, Jim, do you have the gift of prophecy? I don't know if Jim has the gift of prophecy. But I can't tell him he doesn't unless I can discern by the Holy Spirit that Jim, what Jim is speaking is not the truth. And then I can say, brother, seems to me that maybe you're mistaken. And I'm not picking on Jim. Jim's a good sport. He doesn't mind if I point at him. First apostles. That's what's written. We're all bought and members of the body of Christ and members individually. First apostles and ambassador of the gospel. And we're all ambassadors. So to some degree, if we're sent by Christ, and we all are, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. In that sense, we are all ambassadors. Officially a commissioner of Christ with miraculous powers, a delegate, a messenger, one sent forth with orders. You have specific orders from God. And now this word is applied to the 12 who walked with Christ. And then later to Paul. These were the apostles, the 12 apostles. But in a broader sense, it applies to other eminent Christian teachers, like Barnabas, like Timothy, like Silvanus. They were also apostles. And there are apostles among us in the body of Christ. There's nothing in God's Word that says that ended anywhere. I've looked. And if somebody knows of some place where it says there's no more apostles, let me know, because I want to correct. I want to be corrected, honestly. I don't want to be mistaken. Second, prophets, a foreteller, by analogy, an inspired speaker. Now, who inspires? Holy Spirit, right? So in that sense, yours truly is a prophet because I'm professing the Word of God. In the Greek writings, an interpreter of oracles or of other hidden things. Now, so we take the Word of God. And there has to be some, at least limited amount of interpretation. There has to be some way to bring it forth so that the hearers will receive it. The Holy Spirit does that. One who's moved by the Spirit of God as his spokesperson, declaring to others what he's received by mission, especially concerning future events, and in particular, such as relate to the cause and kingdom of God and to human salvation of those who are filled with the Spirit of God, who by God's authority and command in words of weight pleads the cause of God and urges salvation of people. Those are the prophets, those who profess. Choose this day whom you will serve. Now is the day of salvation. Don't wait. Moved by the Holy Spirit to speak, and they have power to instruct and to comfort and to encourage and to rebuke and to convict and to stimulate the hearers. It's God's power that stimulates you to even sit here and listen. It's God's power that moves over you as I speak here in this room and to these other mediums that we use, the platforms that we use. so that you would recognize that it's God that's speaking to you through His Word. We're looking at the definition so that you understand what I'm saying, okay? Because I can't tell you in other way. I'm not going to give you my understanding, my comprehension. I want you to get it from the words, what the words mean. Teachers, that's the third one. Teachers, one who teaches concerning the things of God and the duties of man. Those who in the religious assemblies of the Christians undertake the work of teaching with their special assistance of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit helps us to teach. And I knew this was going to be a difficult message because there are multiple passages, and I didn't want to break it into more than one so that all of you who were within the sound of my voice would get the whole thing. Fourth is miracles, and we already looked at that, dunamis. It's the same as earlier. Fifth is healing, same as before. It's a cure. Sixth is helps, the assistant and the assisting and the helping. This is a gift of the Holy Spirit. And nobody goes contrary to the gift of helps. But some people pick on some of these other ones. Prophets, apostles, miracles, healings, varieties of tongues. There's another one. Administrations. Nobody argues against administrations, right? It's of Latin origin. It means to steer. It means to pilot. That's where that piloting came from. And figuratively, directorship of the church. So that there is some manner of order. It's administrations. It's a gift. Holy Spirit provides. And then Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, asks some curious questions. He says, are all? And of course, we answered, not all. And he encourages believers to earnestly desire the best gifts. And then he goes into the love chapter and he says, I'll show you a more excellent way. Pursue love. Because don't fight about the gifts. Okay, well, you got one gift and I got another gift. Well, yeah, I'm jealous of you because you got that gift and I only got this gift. No. That happens. We don't want it to happen. The next place we find spiritual gifts is in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. And I'm just going to read it. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. Evangelists. We didn't hear that one before, did we? But it's there. Evangelists is the name of New Testament heralds of salvation through Christ who were not apostles. But Paul was also an apostle and an evangelist. Pastors, those who care for, guide, and assist others who have committed themselves to Christ, to our Messiah. There's two that weren't listed in other places. And why are these gifts given to the church? It's written, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro children. Oh, you got that gift. I got this gift. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. By the trickery of men, and there's been a lot of trickery in the body of Christ throughout the last 2,000 years, folks. There's a lot of trickery. And it's time to come out of it. In the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, so it's intentional. Doctrines of demons, they're intentional. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up. In all things unto him who is the head, Messiah, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, in other words, all us as parts, we all work together as the body to accomplish his will, not ours. We set ourselves apart. We set ourselves aside. And he uses us if we surrender to him. It's not about us. We don't need to have egos, folks. We need to quit edging God out, E-G-O. We need to quit doing that. We need to allow him to rule. Effective working by which every part does its share, causing growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And then in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 10, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The final place that we find spiritual gifts is 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. There's probably other places where we could find some allusions to the gifts, but I just wanted to cover the main ones. Peter repeats two of the ideas that Paul stated. If anyone speaks, let him speak of the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through our Messiah, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Whoever speaks, apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists. He covered them all. Whoever speaks, let it be the oracles of God. Don't make up stories. Don't talk about baseball and football and whatever else pleases you. Speak the word of God. And sometimes it's difficult because it takes time. If we're going to cover God's word, to look at what God's word says so we get a full comprehension of where God wants us to be, we need to take the time to do it. It's easy for me. I could stand up here for 5 minutes and tell you a story about something that means nothing to any of you. Or I can go into God's word and I can bring his word to you and I can bring it to bear upon your lives, and I pray by him that you would accept his word and live by faith, not by sight. Minister your gifts to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks and whoever renders service, ministers, whoever ministers. Therefore, it's written in Hebrews chapter 2, therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. I don't even want to get into that one. That's a whole sermon. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. He says, we're going to be receiving gifts. But don't ignore them. Don't ignore the gifts that God has provided you. As you hear, well, maybe you don't have the gift of interpretation, for example. Maybe you don't have the gift of tongues. Maybe you don't have the gift of being a pastor or a teacher. Maybe you don't have those gifts, but maybe God's preparing you to. Don't resist him. Don't resist him. Maybe you don't have the gift of miracles or healing. Don't resist him. Every good gift, it's written in James chapter 1, in verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. It's still the same today as it was then. There's nothing in God's word that says that the gifts of the Holy Spirit will be shut off. No, sorry, you in the last days, the last of the last days, you don't get, no. Joel wasn't right. Joel didn't get it right. He said, we're going to pour out the Spirit, but no, not for you. No, that's not written anywhere. It's nowhere in God's word to be found that he says, I stop here. At this point, and we get the dispensationalists who say, well, at this dispensation, it's this, and at that dispensation, it's that, and that's closed off, and so now you don't get it. No. That's not in God's word. It's not written there anywhere. I've looked, I've hunted, I've tried, because I've faced people that have wanted to try and make me understand somehow that what they're saying was right and what they were saying, in fact, was mistaken because it was opposite of God's word. And maybe you hear some anger in my voice, and I don't want to be angry, but I got to tell you, folks, God's Holy Spirit hasn't changed. He's still the same today, just as Christ is the same today. Christ, our Lord. Oh, foolish Galatians, it's written in chapter 3. Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Did you have to work to receive the Spirit? Did you work the law? Did you go into the law and work the law to receive the Holy Spirit? Or was this an act of faith? Did you say, yes, I surrender? Are you so foolish, he says, having begun in the Spirit that you're now made perfect by the flesh? Religion does that. Religion does that. That spirit of religion will take us out of the spiritual realm and into the flesh, and we won't even know it when we're there. It hurts. It hurts the body. And the body, what we receive from the Holy Spirit is to build up the body. It's not to hurt the body. We're not to have dissension. We are to work together as a body, all the parts working together, just like you see my hands waving around. I'm hoping I don't whack anything over here. It says, have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. And so then, those who are of faith are blessed by believing Abraham. Religion doesn't have the answers, folks. It doesn't. It doesn't have it. It's by faith. We walk in the Spirit as a unified body. It's by faith. We trust. We yield. And as I wrap this up, I want to encourage each of you that hears this message to earnestly desire the best gifts, as it is written. He who supplies the Spirit to you, works miracles among you, does so by the hearing of faith, as it's written in the third chapter of Galatians. And where does faith come from? Hearing the Word of God. That's written in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. And as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. It's not just for you. When you recognize that God's Holy Spirit has gifted you, you share it with others. You use that gift. You don't just bury it. Oh, I don't know. I shouldn't. I did this, okay? I didn't want to be a preacher. I ran from God. He made me this way. He made me to be the preacher, and I didn't want to be. Amen. But I am now.
Thank you, Lord.
And I've surrendered. And that's not just for me. It's for all of you. And it's not always easy because I carry the weight of your souls on my back. And I want to make sure that I bring the whole counsel of God's Word to bear upon your lives, that you, each and every one of you, would recognize where you are and where He wants you to be and how to get there from where you are to where He wants you to be. Minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And remember what's written. This is my last text. Remember what's written in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Peter wrote that 2,000 years ago. The end of all things is at hand. Do you think we're not somewhat closer than he was then? The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And remember what's written in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. The just shall live by faith. And I want all of you to have that faith. It's the faith that brings God's Spirit. It's the faith that brings Christ into your life. It's the faith that enlivens you, that brings you to life. It's the faith that gives you that fire that flies off of you like sparks and ignites others in the Spirit of God. It's the faith that you walk by, not sight, that keeps you fearless. It's the faith that makes you bold. It's the faith that gives you the ability to proclaim what He wants you to proclaim. It is the faith of God that allows us to be His people at this time as He's trusted us to be. That we would do what He wants us to do. That we would walk as children of God by faith and allow His Spirit to rule in our lives. To drive us, to pilot us, to use us to His glory and the building up of the body. I pray that in Christ's name. Let's pray. Father, I thank You. You alone are glorified by Your Word, Father. There's no man's wisdom. There's no man's teaching. There's no man's anything. There's no man's doctrine. It's all Your doctrine. It's all Your Word. It's all Your will. It's all Your way. And God, I ask that You would seat the knowledge of Your Word in the hearts of the hearers today, that each one would be filled with Your Spirit and the outpouring of Your Spirit would be evident in their lives. The manifestation of Your Spirit would guide each one into righteousness, holiness, willing to serve You and You alone. I pray in Christ's name, and all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. I guess it'd be a good time to receive an offering if we want to do that today. We don't want to? Okay. Praise the Lord. I always joke about that because there are times when I forget. I forget to ask.
Hey, you always forget to talk about Wednesday.
That's right. I forgot. Right. Thank you, Debbie. Wednesday evening, we have a prayer meeting here. And it's discussion, prayer, fellowship. And, of course, we have lunch after the service, and everybody's welcome to join us. Plenty of food. So let's pray. Father, we ask that You would guide us in our giving, trusting that it will be sufficient to meet the needs here and beyond. We pray in Christ's name. And all of God's people said, Amen. I'll be right back.